man. This is the old good morning man, Kermit Edney, with program 92 of a series of 260 broadcasts dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years, the WHKP years. Following the same format as that used with the great Frank Fitzsimmons, we call the series Where Fitz Left Off. Yesterday, it was not Fergie and Andrew, but it was Gamby and Andre. And today we're going to share with you the real shocker that no one knew anything about when Gamby Benedict became Mrs. Andre Purambanu out in Mills River in front of a hunting lodge. Yesterday we told you about the millionaire heiress to the Remington typewriter fortune, Gamble Benedict, trying to elope to Paris with her 35-year-old Romanian hairdresser lover. And we told you how her grandmother had dispatched attorneys, captured the 19-year-old girl, had made her a ward of the court, and had a warrant issued for her as a wayward minor. This, Afterlife magazine, had financed an elopement with the slick-haired Purambanu. They were married at the Arthur Redden Hunting Lodge on the afternoon of April 6th, after they had received a blood test and a physical at Party Hospital, and a marriage license had been issued by Marshall Watterson after getting an opinion from the North Carolina Attorney General. As we told you yesterday, the marriage was performed on the lawn of the hunting lodge by Justice of the Peace Fletcher Roberts and was witnessed by attorneys Arthur Redden and L.B. Prince, along with Mac Aiken and Marshall Watterson, and the two life photographers who were doing the exclusive story for the magazine. It was reported that Gamby, the 19-year-old bride, wore a simple blue and white frock, carried neither flowers nor a Bible. And Andre, the 35-year-old Romanian hairdresser, wore a single-breasted blue suit and a borrowed shirt, several sizes too large for him. Immediately after the ceremony was completed, it was reported that Gamby nearly collapsed in hysteria, alternately laughing and crying. It was reported that the couple kissed at least 50 times, don't know who counted, before leaving in a car. And obviously their kisses back then were a lot shorter than you see on TV today, otherwise they'd still be smooching out in Mills River. Now, the bride's grandmother, when she was advised of this wedding that had taken place, said, "I want nothing more to do with them or their escapades." And apparently she did not try to block the couple from traveling to Europe after the wedding. However, 18 months later, when Purambanu made his way from Europe via Canada and Bermuda to, quote, tie up some loose ends, including some back alimony payments for his former wife, he apparently had forgotten about that court order issued by Judge Peter M. Horn of Brooklyn to stay away from the Benedict girl, and so he was immediately arrested, handcuffed, taken before Judge Horn, and in less than 10 minutes was convicted and sentenced to 30 days in jail and a $250 fine. And the judge said if the fine's not paid in a matter of hours, it'll cost you another 30 days in jail. Purambanu complained he was being made the sacrificial lamb. He said, quote, "This is the most reprehensible thing to happen to me, and further, please contact my wife and tell her not to worry." Now, please remember, when we said that Gamby wore a plain blue and white frock and did not carry flowers or a Bible, she also did not carry a 4-day-old son that had been born to her on April 2nd, 4 days before this wedding took place. At the time of Purambanu's arrest in New York, United Press International reported that Gamby, now 20 years of age, was expecting her second child and was living in the French Riviera. The UPI story said, quote, "The couple's first child, a boy, was born last April 2nd, 4 days before the wedding." And that was 4 days before she had appeared in the Register of Deeds office in Hendersonville seeking a marriage license. As a final footnote, the late Walter B. Smith, a true character in every sense of the word, sent a telegram 4 days after Purambanu had been arrested, offering the couple a beautiful building site in the North Carolina mountains. Walter B. Smith said he offered them a choice of 2 or 3 beautiful building sites in Laurel Park, where nobody will molest you. Who knows? One of the sites Walter had in mind might have been one of the lots I bought from Walter and on which my house is built today. More tomorrow about Walter B. Smith, B as in Bull, S as in Sunshine, from this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave with the job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda, as we move into the next 50 years.